All right, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3, if you will. Ephesians chapter 3. When I was putting together the theme for this year, and we've spent a lot more time on this year than we have in other years, just the way it worked out, I kind of went through the Bible and I was looking for verses on abundantly and abounding and so forth and so on. And I'm kind of cleaning up the rest of these here. Pretty well made it through the whole year. But that's where we are. This is one of those passages that I wanted us to see. That we're supposed to be always abounding. Life in Christ is a victory. It should be a victory. We're on the top side. We're on the winning side. And that doesn't mean there's not problems, there's not issues and things that come along, but we should be abounding in Him in all many different ways in our walk with God and the victory we have over sin. And the fact is our growth in Him. And tonight, we're going to be talking about something else. We need to be able to abound in the miracle working power of God. We really should be able to do that. But if there's some things I think we need to understand. So let me look at Ephesians chapter 3. Two verses, verse 20 and 21, and these are somewhat familiar passages. And so Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him," that person that does all those things, "unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for some time together here this evening, and want to be a blessing to our folks here. This is, Lord, this is something that we would attest to, and yet sometimes we don't practice it. We don't really live by this principle. We would say we do. We would say we believe it. And yet, with our actions, don't bear it out sometimes. I mean, oftentimes, maybe. And maybe there's some more than others in here. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us to maybe get a good perspective on what it is that you're presenting to us here. So Lord, we're going to put it in your hands. I need your Holy Spirit to move here tonight. And so we can really make, Lord, there's more to the Christian life than surviving. And you can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That's quite a statement, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us understand that and put it in context with the rest of the Word of God. We do it in Christ's name. Amen. My message tonight, I'm entitling "The Impossible Made Possible." The impossible made possible. I kind of put a little subtitle in there. Possibilities beyond our imagination. Now, this is not a prosperity gospel message. This is not a name it and claim it message. This is a simple, practical message. Many Christians never seek the blessings of God because they do not believe they will receive it. Whatever the reason may be, I think a lot of them don't believe that they will actually receive it. In actuality, if we want to truly please the Lord, we should come to Him and to the Lord in faith. Now, how many times have I quoted Hebrews 11:6? It quotes, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And let me break that apart just a little bit. He says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, he that approaches God, he that visits with God, he that truly worships God, he that truly draws near to God, must believe that He is. He must consent to who God is." He must consent to who God is. If you do not agree with Him, or you don't agree that He is who He says He is, how can you expect to have anything from Him? He says, we must believe. We've got to give credit to him that he is the I am that I am. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He does return, give return for that faith to those who seek him, search him out. That word seek him has the idea of to crave, watch, or to demand to know him. It's kind of like Jacob at the river Jabbok, when he wrestled with them, said, and he was about ready to meet his brother Esau. The captain of the Lord's host came and he wrestled with him all night. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I did a message, old man, probably 15 years ago. That night, Jacob, the supplanter, the crook, got a hold of God and said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he wrestled all night. And the angel touched his hip, and his hip went out of joint. And he was saying, I could kill you just like that. He said, well, you might as well go ahead, because I'm dead unless I have your blessing. And the sun started to rise. And the captain of the Lord's host says, what's your name? He says, my name is Jacob. He says, for now, your name shall be Israel, because you are a prince with God. He wrestled with God all night. And God says, you know what that means? You believe in me. That's how you become a prince with God. One who has the audacity to say, I'm going to grab a hold of God. I'm not going to let him go unless he bless me. The Lord likes us to ask for the impossible. It means you are exercising faith in an almighty God. You're giving consent to who he is, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, all-seeing, omnipotent, all-powerful, eternal. There is no end, an immutable, an unchanging God who is consistent throughout all of eternity. His love and his righteousness, his power and his might, his knowledge and his wisdom has always been and always will be exceeding above all that we could think. On the other hand, asking the impossible of God is not a blank check. Nothing is impossible with God, but not everything is good for us. God can do all things, but not all things are expedient for us, to borrow a phrase. If it is good for us and the timing is right, the Lord is glad to bless us. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If we're just satisfying our flesh and what we are asking for is not good for us, the Lord will withhold it. James goes on in chapter 4, says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulterers, know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? We're asking God to give us the world. How many times we've asked that God to give us what the world has to offer us? Didn't ask us for God to give us what God wants us to have. We're asking him to give us what we want and what the world says we should have. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you realize when I go to God asking for that which the world wants me to have, but God doesn't want me, I'm making an enemy while I'm asking him to help me. You understand? Psalm 84 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Watch. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in thee. And I've quoted this before in 2 Chronicles 17:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong in the behalf of that of whose heart is perfect toward him. Many people doubt the Lord because they ask of him, and yet they do not see the answer. So they conclude that either God is not real, not powerful enough to answer their prayers, or the Lord is against them, or at least indifferent to them. I want to walk through a little bit of this here this evening. See if we can put these things in perspective. Number one, the Lord is ready, willing, and able to do whatever needs to be done. The Lord is ready, willing, and able to do whatever needs to be done. In our passage here, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Let me go back here. Unto him that is able. That means to have the power to make possible. Didn't say that it is possible in our realm. He can make it possible. It's not possible for a woman who was a virgin to have a baby, but he made it possible. It's not possible for a man who's dead for 4 days to rise again, but he made it possible. It's not possible for a human soul to rise up out of the dirt and become a person, for it to multiply and for it to grow and to live and alive, but God made it possible. When it says he's able, he's basically given the idea he's able to make possible that which is not possible, even if it's not possible on our own or normally. It's possible with him. He's able to do, to make, to perform. He's able to get it done. He will get it done. He can make it happen exceeding abundantly, more than enough, above and beyond the impossible. Beyond, not just making the possible impossible possible, but beyond the impossible. Above all, in a fashion superior to all other things that we can ask, that we crave, that we require, or even above, abundant, exceeding abundant above all that we could think. The exercise of the mind to imagine. Do you realize you cannot imagine something beyond God's capacity? You can't. We don't have the ability to imagine beyond God's capacity. But he's able. According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. Luke 1, in this time of year, we hear this passage. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered, said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And if you think that can't happen, Mary, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Do you realize the life of Jesus on earth began with the impossible? Being born of a virgin. The Lord is ready, willing, and able to do whatever needs to be done. Number two, God can do all things even if it is outside the realm of man. Matthew 19 says, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which saith Jesus? And Jesus saith, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, Well, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed, saying, Well, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Luke also says, he quotes him, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Number three. Moving right along, aren't we? The Lord has authority over all the powers of darkness. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. This battle is beyond what we can see. Now, you know the story. When Jesus came down off of the Mount of Transfiguration, they were trying to heal this boy, and they couldn't do it. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. And he answered and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he says, Well, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father's child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now in Matthew, it says it this way, And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, if all you need is faith of a grain of mustard seed, you realize it's really not the faith that does the work. It's the one in whom we have the faith in. The faith is simply the key that opens the door to the impossible. And a key doesn't have to be very big, as long as it's opening the right door. God can do anything, but we need to balance this. We can have faith that God can answer our request, watch, and yet not have faith that God will answer our request. Again, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Mark 11, it says, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Remember, Jesus, they had walked by and saw this fig tree, there weren't any figs on it, and Jesus cursed the fig tree. And the next day they came back, the doggone fig tree was already dried up. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. Why are you surprised? God can do anything. Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now watch me. That sounds like that. If that sounds like that name it, claim it thing. It sounds like that prosperity gospel. But we have to take Scripture and compare it with Scripture. So let's temper this. Let's balance this with number four. Though God can do all things, God doesn't do all things. God can do all things, yet God doesn't do all things. First of all, God answers as a father. God gives that which is good for you. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that seeketh, asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, this shall be opened. Sounds good. Next verse, though. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son had asked bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Now apply that. If you ask for that which is not good, he's not going to give it. But he will give you the good things if you'll ask for the good things. God gives that which is good for you. But God is not going to give you that which is not good for you. Now again, let's go back to what I said a little while ago. The world is forever telling us what's good for us. And if we're listening to the world, we're going to think we know what's good for us because the world told us so. Now how am I going to know what's good for me? I've got to know what God says is good for me. You say, well, he didn't answer my prayer because you asked amiss. To consume it upon your lusts. God is a father, a loving father. Listen, can you see some little kid said, I want a snake. He said, I'm going to give you a snake. I'll give you a guinea pig right now. I don't think you're going to handle a snake. 5-year-old said, Mom, Daddy, give me the keys to the car. I'm not going to give you the keys to the car. I will in about 11, 12 years. And then I'm going to sit in the passenger seat with you for a while. You see, God's going to give us good things, but the world. But we're asking if we're going to ask the world what we want. Friends of the world is going to tell us to ask for the wrong thing. So number five, the Lord gives according to His wise and perfect will. Now God can do exceeding abundantly all that we can even ask or think. He can go beyond beyond our imagination. We cannot imagine anything beyond His capacity. But no matter how much we believe Him, He's not going to give us that which is not good for us. Every good and precious gift cometh from the Father of lights, not from the Father of darkness. So don't bother to ask for something that God does not approve of. You see what I'm saying? We get mad at God. The world talks us into asking for something we shouldn't have, and then we don't get it. The world says, well, see, your God's nothing. The world, listen, old Satan will even cause somebody who's supposed to be a Christian leader to teach you the name and claim it thing. Send me your money, and God will make you rich. And if somehow it still doesn't work. And you know what Satan said? The old Satan says, well, I guess you're just not spiritual enough, or I guess God just doesn't care about you enough. And yet in your heart you know that God could. But we're only seeing half of the story. We're only relying on half of the truth. John 14 says, the words of Jesus, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And right along with it, he says, and whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And you've got these people who will take that at verse 13 and 14, and say, see, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 14. Well, there you go. Name and claim it. Did you read the verse before? I said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. What works is Jesus going to do? The works of the world? The works of Satan? The works of the flesh? He does the works of Jesus Christ. And so if you want to do the works of Jesus Christ, he's all for it. He's all for it. Well, I need some help. No problem. Ask and I'll give you some help. It's kind of like your 60-year-old son comes to his mother and says, I want to learn how to make my bed right so you don't have to do it anymore. Oh, I don't have time to teach you. No, let's go learn right now. You want to do something that pleases the Father, he'll help you learn how to do it. He'll give you the power to do it right now. He'll start working on you. He'll start teaching you right now. But wait, we must ask according to the will of God. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Brother Nathan was talking about this morning in Sunday school class. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So we ask according to his will. There's not one thing, is it? He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think within his will. How do we know what is the will of God? I told you this is simple. Well, we forget. We forget. And then we don't bother to ask because he's not going to answer anyway. But that's because we've asked amiss. We don't know what to ask for. One of the ones that people always they forget about. They say, "Well, we should ask you get and you shall receive." Paul asked three times to get rid of that thorn in his flesh. Apparently, it wasn't God's will. God says, "You know what, Paul? You're more valuable to me if I can keep your ego at bay. I know you. Listen, you came to heaven." That day they stoned you, you died, you went to heaven, you thought you saw things that's not lawful to tell anybody, and you've got revelation nobody else has. The fact is, we gotta watch you because you're really smart, and you're kind of prone to get a head swell anyway, Paul. So I want you to remember, I gotta keep you kind of not beat down, but just kind of tempered to keep you humble so you can be used. And he says, "Well, gladly then I will glory in my infirmities. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because when I'm strong, I get on my own, then I'm weak." And now Paul's doing the work, and the Holy Spirit's not doing the work. But if I'm weak, then I'm strong, because the Holy Spirit's doing the work, Paul's not doing the work. You know what happened there? The Father gave that which was good, and not that which wasn't good. How do we know what is the will of God? Well, Jesus told us in John 15, the night before he's going to be crucified. He says, you're on your own here now. He said this, abide in me and I in you. In other words, I want you to stay, to abide means to stay in a given place, to remain present with. In other words, we can be in the same basic location and not remain present with. We can go to church and not abide in Christ. In our heart, we must remain present with. I heard a preacher said, we need to practice the presence of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means we live in a constant recognition. The Holy Spirit is in my heart. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. He's stuck with me, but I'm sealed with him. And he will guide me and lead me into all truth if I'll listen to him. And when I don't listen to him, I grieve him. I have all things pertaining to life and godliness through the divine nature that's within me. I have that. I practice. Don't forget that he's there. You could don't take this wrong, and you know, we all do our own little thing here. But there was years ago, it helped me when I realized I was not praying to myself. But while I was instead of praying like he's out there beyond the stars. I realize I can pray. He's right here. And I bowed my head. I looked not to me. I know it sounds weird, but to him who's in me. I need your help. I can't do this on my own. Give me your wisdom. Give me your understanding. I'm about ready to read your word. And Lord, I want to understand what you want me to understand of. It's not what I think I found, what somebody else said or what some commentator said. I want to know what you said. I need you. And I stopped praying to some deity of far off. But my friend who lives within. He says, abide with me and I in you. Why? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now watch me. In other words, as soon as we stop abiding with the Lord, we stop the flow of the living juices. I've got some limbs. I got a blue spruce on the tree in the front corner of my house of my property. It was there, pretty good size thing. It's not quite as tall as this ceiling here, but it's getting a pretty good size on it. But when they came in and built, they hit a couple of things. There's a couple little limbs that got broken. They're still hanging on the tree. And for a while, they looked green because evergreen trees do that. But you know what? They got browner and browner, and now they're dead. In fact, they were dead when they broke. They still looked alive, but they were dead because the living juices were no longer going into the limb. It had been cut off. It can no longer grow. It can no longer survive. Too many Christians have allowed that connection to break, and they're no longer abiding. And all we can go along for a little while, stay green. And everybody thinks, well, I think they're going to make it. But eventually it all turns brown and it gets brittle and it falls off. It needs to abide, because if we don't abide in the vine, the branch is dead. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. How do we know? Listen, how do I know what to pray for? I need to pray in the will of God. Now, how do I know what the will of God is? Abide in him. If my heart wants to know him, and how does he abide in me? And my word abide in you. My heart wants to seek out the Lord, and then the Lord teaches me who he is through his word. There's two things. If I want to abide in him, and I'm almost done. Wow, look at this. Ready? I'm on the back page. I got 2 points. Surrender to God's word. You want to have your prayers answered. Abide and pray according to his will, because the Father's not going to ask. He's not going to answer that which is not good for you. How do you know what's good for you? What he already said is good for you. Well, how do I know? Get in his word. But just reading the word is not going to do it. You must surrender. Now, I'm going to put that first. The second point is study God's word. Now, I started to put these down, and I started to put it down in the other order. And the Holy Spirit said, no, put it down this order. We have to surrender first and then go study it. We don't go study it, decide what it says, and decide whether we're going to surrender to it. I don't know everything that the Bible says, but I've already surrendered to it because it's God's word. We must believe that he is all that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if we seek him, we shall find him when we search with him with all our heart. I want my prayers answered. Well, I've got to know what to pray for. And I'm going to know what to pray for. I've got to know God's word. And I've got to be willing. I've got to go to God's word. And first of all, surrender to it. Some years ago, my wife gave a message to the king's daughters. And in the message there, she presented a contract with God. And on this piece of paper, all it said was, the will of God. And you signed your name at the bottom. Well, that sounds like a scam. We'll fill in the rest later. No, That's exactly where God says we're supposed to be. Do you trust Him? Do you trust His heart? Do you trust who He is? Do you believe that He is who He says He is? Then you can sign your name to the will of God and He can fill in what that is later. Later. On His timing. As I'm ready for it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want to know God's will for your life? Surrender to it. But I don't know what it is yet. That's not the point. Because when you surrender to the will of God, you're surrendering to God. To not be willing to surrender to God is to deny that God is who He says He is. And you can't say that you're coming to Him believing that He is. You can't claim that. And if you can't claim that, then you can't claim He's going to be a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You may be seeking something, but you're not seeking Him if you don't believe that He is. Just go outside and look at the stars for a while. Go down to the maternity ward in the hospital and look at some babies. Watch the cut on your hand heal itself over time. Watch a first grader learn. And their brain comes alive. And their creativity comes along. Fall in love with that one that God has given you. That didn't come up out of the dirt. Didn't happen by accident. That doesn't happen. God created something. There's something. There's a great designer. And that designer loves you. And He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Beyond our capacity to imagine. But why isn't He doing that? You need to get in tune with Him. Not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. By surrendering a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And then we will find out what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And secondly, study God's Word. Surrender to God's Word and then find out what's in there. Simple stuff. 2 Timothy 2, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. You know, we live in the age of information. Anybody that's got access to a computer can sound like an expert. How many times have we heard on the news, well, the experts have said, well, name them and give me their address. Give me their credentials. Who are these experts? Well, Joe down here at the barbershop and Buddy down at my mechanic's place, they all said it. That's because their wives have been telling each other and their wives told them. You know, I mean, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know it comes back to the same old thing. But know God's word. always abounding. He says, listen, God can answer your prayers in an abounding way, exceeding abundantly beyond that which you could ask or think. Psalm 37 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord also in him, and trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now God can do anything, but God's not going to do everything. It's that same principle we had the other night on Wednesday, 1 Corinthians 10. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. God wants to answer your prayers, and he wants to show himself great and mighty. But if we don't ask for the right things, he's not going to give you the wrong thing. How do you know? Surrender to him. Study the word. Abide in him and his word abiding in you.